You know, over the years that Mary Lou and I have been following and serving Jesus, we've learned a lot of lessons. But you know, I think one of the greatest lessons that we've learned, when I stop and think about it, is how much we can trust Him. Yeah, you ever been there? You know, seriously, you can trust Him. But in all honesty, it didn't start out that way, certainly not for me. But as I and as we have grown in this relationship with Him, and we've watched Him come through over and over and over again, demonstrating His grace, demonstrating His mercy, we've actually grown into an expectation of how much you can lean on Him when you let Him take charge of your life. I mentioned last week about the first time that we actually moved into a full-time ministry opportunity. We firmly believed that God had called us. Now, there's little parts of that story I didn't tell you. Like, we had just built a new house that we had to leave. We left. Mary Lou was leaving a job that she loved. But and you know, in terms of dollars and cents, it just didn't make sense. But sometimes God calls us to do things that are not rational. Sometimes He calls us to do things that really don't make sense. And then what we do is we step back and watch Him take charge. Watch Him move. And when we see Him take full charge of our lives, we have an expectation. We have a growing, alive faith that this God who we serve, this God who called, this God who has given us direction, He has got us in the palm of His hands. But that's when faith becomes more than theory. You see, it's easy to talk about it. And as I said last week, you know, when we talk about faith, it's easy to say, yeah, I've got faith in God. I believe that God can do this. But then when He calls us to do something above and beyond that, how do we move into it? How do we embrace it? You see, it's at that point, and I don't think that I have enough nerve to sit behind the wheel of one of these self-drive cars and not put my hands on the steering wheel. I just don't think I have. My faith in human technology is not that great, but you know something? My faith in God is. And it's when I take my hands off the steering wheel of my life and let Him take charge, I see amazing things happen. I really do, and I have. And each time, it gets just a little bit easier to let go and let God. And when we do that, that's when He demonstrates His faithfulness to us. In other words, faith expands faith. My faith in God just further demonstrates His faith to me, His faithfulness to me. You see, that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about in chapter 3. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to be in this book for quite a while. And the verses that I'm looking at today get a little bit complicated, so I need you to hang in with me. In this chapter, the chapter that we looked at, the writer of Hebrews, and we can call him by whatever name we want to call him, might be Ralph, I don't know. Actually, if you want to try the Hebrew out for it, it's Ibri Sofer. Okay, that means Hebrews writer. Ibri Sofer. He uses a particular phrase and then he repeats it several times in chapter 3, and then he continues it in chapter 4. We know that whenever we see something being repeated, we need to just push the pause button for a few minutes and pay just a little greater attention to it. God is trying to tell us something. He's putting emphasis on something because he doesn't want us to miss it. So here's what we can see that's being repeated in this. God's rest. And throughout chapter 3 and in chapter 4, we see rest, 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 over and over again. So I want to pick it up where we left off last week, but picking it up on the 10th and 11th verses, and then we'll go into some new territory. This is what it says. "That's why I was angry with that generation," he said. This is God speaking. "Their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my," and I had to put this in brackets, "eternal rest." And I'll explain what that's about in just a couple minutes. "They shall never enter my eternal rest." And I know the word eternal is not in the text, but I'll explain that. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Be encouraged, one another, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As it's been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his," and again, "eternal rest?" Did that one turn out? Yes. Okay. "If not those who disobeyed." So we see that they are not able to enter because of their unbelief. Now, a good question to ask is, what is God's rest? Now, if we're only thinking about a Sunday afternoon nap, and I'm sure some of you are doing that right now, is it a time of slowing down, of setting a lawn chair up by a lake and listening to the wind whistling through the pines? Is that what this rest looks like? And as good as that Sunday afternoon nap may sound, this is not what he's referring to. "They shall never enter my rest." You see, the rest that he's referencing here is a time of ending. It's a place of eternal rest. A place that, if you will, we rest in peace. Okay, that's kind of where that phrase comes from. It's also a place where there is no more suffering. All the things that God has for us are good. I hope we all believe that. His rest, eternal rest, is beyond our understanding. But it comes with a warning, and this is the warning. You can miss it. You can miss it. It's not a guarantee. And the writer of Hebrews is wrapping it up in faith. Do we have the faith to deserve it? First and foremost, we need to be found in Christ. But then, being found in Christ, we also need to be obedient to him. So let's pick it up in chapter 4, and I need to tie this together. So I'm going to go back to the 19th verse that we just read, and then on into chapter 4. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. And then he begins chapter 4 with a therefore. relating back to the 19th verse. Therefore, since the promise of entering his eternal rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now, if we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declare on oath in my anger. Boy, he really drills into this. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall not enter my eternal rest, and yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day, God rested. Okay? And there is a difference between the first rest and the second rest. This is rest from labor. And in the Hebrew, when you look at it, they are separate words. Okay? And it's really important that we understand that. The Hebrews did, because they would hear the different words and know the different meanings. Unfortunately, in English, we're very limited. And believe me, it took me a long while to get this figured out. Rested from labor, from all their works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my eternal rest. Therefore, since it all remains for some to enter that eternal rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David in the message, in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, and that rest is from labor, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest. And this Sabbath rest is different from the first two. This is rest from toils and trouble. This is a resting of your spirit. This is a relaxation of your spirit where you go, oh. Also rests, and that rest is from labor. So he gives us rest from labor, but he also gives us rest in our spirit. Rest in labor from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that eternal rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Okay, are you thoroughly confused now? I hope not. Because just go to the next slide there. Okay. There is eternal rest, okay, which is a heavenly blessedness after life. Okay, that is what eternity looks like. And if anybody can pronounce the Hebrew, that's the English way of saying that. Kapakaois. Okay, the rest from toils and labor, or peace, is kapao. And the rest from labor, the Sabbath, is sabbathismos. But get this, they can all be lost through disobedience. That's the significance here. And these are not the only rests that we're going to talk about. I've got a couple of others to throw at you here. Okay? But they can all be lost. We can have that inner turmoil churning inside of us through disobedience. The rest that we so very often crave from the Father, and yet we block it when we fail to surrender to his will in our lives. Now, keep in mind, these intended readers were all Jews. The stories of disobedience were deeply ingrained in them. When they became followers of Christ, they experienced life in a whole new way. It was all brand new to them. God intended to remove the rush of life and that inner turmoil, those turmoil issues dissipated. The trappings of sin were gone. The fear of death removed. That's the eternal rest. The fear of death is removed. There was a sense of satisfaction that nothing in the law could give. The restlessness of their souls was removed, and they had the assurance of God's peace. You know, what a deal. What a deal. All the trappings that the world craves for, all the trappings that the world just longs for. This is the promise that we have. We enter into a rest from it all. But the basic ingredient that was for the ancients, the basic ingredient that was for the Jews, the Hebrews that this was written to, and the basic ingredient for us is wrapped in one word. It's in faith. Faith. You see, if we fail to have faith, if we fail to believe that God is bigger than any obstacle that gets in our way, if we fail to take our hands off the wheel and let God drive, you know something? We'll never know his rest. We'll never know that inner calm, that peace that he so desperately wants us to have. And this is exactly what happened to those who went right up to the promised land. They looked in and they said, he's not big enough. He can separate the waters. He can feed us in the desert. He can do all of those things, but he's just not big enough for this one. You see, this is what he's reminding those Jews about, was turning their back on him. And he was even taking it a step further, because he was saying to those Hebrews, to those Jews, you have known the salvation of Christ. It's real. You know that it's real, and yet you are willfully choosing to turn away from it. And that's a stern warning. The necessity is faith. I believe that this God can see me through no matter what the obstacle is. He says in verse 2, for we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Following Christ begins with faith. That he can accomplish what I can't. That he can set me free. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to enter into his rest. And the writer of Hebrews says, a lack of faith is rebellion. God has demonstrated his provision to the children of Israel. He showed them his power. He brought them to the edge. All they had to do was enter. All they had to do was take it. He was before them. But they failed to move forward. They failed to believe that God was big enough. They failed to believe that he could conquer any obstacle that got in the way. And they turned away. It took 40 years, 40 years, before they would be purged to the point that they could re-enter. And then he brought them back to the exact same place. This is what our writer said he saw going on with the Hebrew believers. They had seen God at work, and yet they were still turning away. Verse 7 says, God again set a certain day, calling it today. The implication there is that it's now. It's this day. He said, smarten up, you guys. It's now. When you activate Christ in your lives, it's now. A few weeks ago, I said that when the Holy Spirit calls you into a relationship with Himself, and you say, well, I'm going to put this off until I'm ready, that doesn't work. Because we can only be drawn to the Father through the invitation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we fail to respond to the Holy Spirit, the now, we may not ever have another now. Today, today is what he says. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. And that's a passage from Psalm 95:11. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You see, he was speaking through David, the exact same thing. And then the writer of Hebrews picks it up and he takes it to them and says, do not harden your hearts. When you hear God's voice, this is when we respond. His offer is about the now. He has an appointed time for everything. You see, I have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. I have no idea whether I will get out of this church alive today or not. It's the truth. He never promises that. Our response is one of faith, believing what God can and will do. Do I believe? Do I believe him enough? The Hebrew author is using the Israelites' refusal to enter the promised land as an illustration of what can happen if we harden our hearts to God's leading and to his direction. He's telling those Jewish Christians, this is a living reality. This isn't theory. This isn't some kind of, this is living. This is now. And you guys need to listen to it. That's what the today is all about. It is today, it is now you decide to be obedient to God's voice. And when we're obedient to God's will, following him by faith, we enter into his eternal rest. We enter into his rest from worry, from stress, and we enter into his rest from labor. And the last one is the one that's closest to what Jesus was talking about when he said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This rest is a different rest again. This rest is very close to the one from labor. It is to physically refresh and recover. I don't know what it's like here, but I remember some of the old farmers at home. When they'd go out and they'd be working, you know, hay or whatever, they'd often come in at lunchtime, they'd grab a quick bite to eat, and then they would have like a 20-minute power rest to get back out again. They needed that to physically refresh and to recover. That's the rest that Jesus is talking about. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, another rest again. Okay? And you know, we read this and we think we know exactly what it is, but you can take this rest and you can put it into one of our modern words called recreation. That rest is actually re-creation. I did leave the words up there. You can copy them out and look them up if you want to. But there's five different rests in these passages. And I haven't looked any further than that. But each one has a little different take on it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest or recreation for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The point to all of this is simple. It is easy to lose focus. It is easy to drift away, to lose sight of all that God has done and all that he continues to do in our lives. You know, it's really easy. We can get bogged down by so much. Spend way too much time on the internet, and there you go. You're lost in it. Even if those Jews who had come to know Jesus were turning their backs on him, they were turning their backs, and their faith was slipping. The same can happen to us. God offers us rest. Rest on so many different levels. And we will never experience it if we continue to try to do things the way we always have, or continue to do things according to our own understanding on our own. May God speak to us deeply in this. May he increase our faith and give us the courage to launch into things that we have never launched into before. I am so blessed. I am so blessed that over the years, God has enabled me to witness and do things in my life. And you know, I live with an expectation that the same God who has brought me this far is going to continue. He's not going to drop me. He's going to continue. But you've got to put that first step forward, that faith forward. He's asking us for obedience. That's all he asks. Do you know his rest today? Or is there a restlessness inside of you? Pretty good measurement. Pretty good measurement. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your promises. I thank you, Lord, that you offer us the things that the world can't even simulate. Lord, that the very things that so many in the world hunger after is contentment, is peace, is in knowing that there is a place in eternity for them. Father, so many long for that. And Lord, if there's any today that are here that are struggling with the issues of faith, of the issues of obedience, of just relying on you, oh Lord, I pray that you'll give them the courage in whatever the increments look like to just place their faith and their trust and their hope in you and in you alone. Knowing full well that you have us covered. Lord, whatever that looks like. Father, I thank you for the challenge that you placed in the hearts and lives of these Hebrews. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.